This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward, giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start, because where you start matters.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's Mike Shope.
Name any word in less than a second. I will tell you how many letters are in it. But I cannot do anything mechanically. I don't even know how to put a game together for three-year-olds.
And the Bulldog.
Fool me once. Shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
North Carolina looking very much like a sucker bet. Down 18 at the half to Ole Miss. I bit on the sucker bet. Maybe, you know, they'll come back and this won't be the case. But they get in the tournament. People freak out. Shouldn't be there. Although, to my ears, I heard a lot of, yes, they should. They're actually good enough to be there. So there was a discussion. They have to play in the play-in game on Tuesday night. They win by 100 against somebody on Tuesday. And like, okay, well, now we're cooking. Carolina. Not yet. Today, are they cooking? They're getting cooked. Down 18 to Ole Miss. So that feels like maybe I should have known better. Go the other way, Mike. Let's go to Johnny here. Hi, Johnny. Johnny, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry about that.
Just in time.
One of the things I want to talk about the offseason, not necessarily an addition, but one thing I definitely want to see is the improvement from Dalton Kincaid. And I don't know if it's more of a product of the types of plays that were being called for him, because it seemed like every time he caught the ball, it was in or around the line of scrimmage there, like a little flare pass off to the side, a screen, something like that. But, you know, watching him in college, especially that one game he had against USC, being a USC fan, and betting that game, I just remember him absolutely killing me and killing USC. But, you know, a lot of these passes were downfield. He, you know, beating linebackers. And I don't know if that's just USC's defense being bad in college and going against some of these awful Pac-12 defenses. And so when it gets to that NFL talent level, the linebackers and these safeties are a little quicker, more physical. But it just feels like, you know, he's kind of that his prototype just feels like he's a perfect tight end for Josh Allen. Like, it's an athletic, rangy guy who can make some plays downfield, go up and get the ball. And I just didn't see that at all last year, and maybe it was injury, but this is a first-round draft pick who I was really hoping would, you know, splash, especially in the playoffs. I'm like, okay, he might be healthy now, let's get him going, and just didn't happen. So that's really where I want to see the improvement.
Well, that makes sense to me. Is the story, if you know, if you're an USC fan, was the story of that one game that they were using somebody on him that wasn't even a defensive player or something? I don't know if you know that story, but
so they just, from my outside look, the story that I saw was they just made absolutely zero adjustments. They said, okay, let this guy beat us, and, you know, let's leave everybody else was covered except it seemed like Kincaid, and they made zero adjustments defensively. and kind of just stuck in this. It appeared that they were in zone defense the majority of the game, and these linebackers or whoever was playing on them just were absolutely getting just cooked off the ball. So I don't know the exact story. If you heard there was a
I got to check with my guy on this. I will find out, Johnny. So I host a podcast every week called ADP Chasing for Fantasy Players, and this week, Tuesday, on the show, Davis Maddock, one of the guys, he's not a Kincaid fan, and he mentioned Kincaid, and he brought up something about that, and he said, where would he have been drafted had it not been for that one game against USC? The game the caller is talking about. October 15th, 2022, 16 catches for 234 yards and a touchdown. Like, this would be the biggest receiving game for anyone in Bills history, right? 16 for 234 and one was Kincaid against USC. He had two other 100-yard games that year. And otherwise, like, he had 99 also. Like, he had a good season with that one blow-up game, but it's not, like, amazing. Like, you will get in college sometime. This is a tight end, not a receiver, but you will get, you know, these huge stats. And he didn't really do that, but he had the one big game. I don't know the answer to the question. The caller said, seems like he should be sort of the perfect fit with Allen. I get that. But it is true, especially as a rookie, at the beginning of his rookie season, everything at the line of scrimmage. And then last year, that's just kind of how they played. Just mentioned the stat about downfield passing and how just unproductive the Bills were. I don't want to say bad exactly. You do have an MVP quarterback, but just they could not really throw the ball deep well at all. They ranked near the bottom of the league. So what is Kincaid going to be, I think, is the question now. That huge game in college, it's a long time ago. Last year, he played most of the season. He had a high of 53 yards. And I think he has four touchdowns for his career. Not great. What is he going to be? The Bills, after the season, as you may remember, said, McDermott, if not also Bean, that they want Kincaid to get stronger. And I don't think that's great for his prospects as this player that you want him to be and that I wanted him to be when they drafted him. You know, getting stronger is not going to mean, you know, seam routes. It's going to mean that maybe they want him to play with his hand down or just sort of be. It's not just like how he's used, but, you know, holding up over the course of a season, things like that too. So it doesn't have to be a bad omen for how he's used. But I'll say again, I've said it like all the time for a year, coming out of the 23 season, we might not have liked just sort of what the Bills offense was for downfield passing, but you can't say it didn't work. And that's when, like, you have the game against Dallas. We had that came up yesterday. Allen might have had seven completions in that game, less than 100 yards. It was all Cook. And they beat Kansas City and they beat Dallas and they beat Miami to win the division. This is 2 years ago. And then they win a playoff game before losing the home game to the Chiefs. What are the Bills going to take away from all that? Exactly what it looked like they did, which was this is a winning recipe. And that meant we didn't need Diggs anymore. We didn't need Davis anymore. We can play, you know, Smash Mouth, Alec Anderson, six linemen, and win. And they did. And they won. Like, that's what it was. And where does that leave Dalton Kincaid? Just kind of in the middle, like not playing a super important part in that. He is a receiver with a tight end office plate, and nobody got off in terms of the receivers last year. Shakir was the best of any, and that was still like just good for it by an NFL standard. Anyway, where are we going with Kincaid? Johnny, the caller, is like, I want more. I hope you get it, but getting stronger and again another season where they played a certain style that wasn't exactly perfect for him and went to the AFC Championship makes me wonder if that's about to change. Like, why would they do that? And the roster isn't really changed, the offense anyway, isn't really changing at all. It's Palmer for Hollins. Cooper's out, assuming he's not brought back. They'll maybe be a skill position player from the draft. Otherwise, I think it's going to be the same because, again, the bottom line is, wouldn't the Bills think, why should we change? We went a long way this way. We set the franchise record in points. I still worry. I don't know. Like, maybe it's something about me. I still have my doubts. Kincaid hasn't really amounted to a lot. Coleman didn't amount to a lot. Shakir is good. Palmer might be good. Cook is good. Put that all together. Allen is so great that he can carry all that, and the line stays together and is excellent, you know, durable, all those good things. You could have that season again. Why not? But I think it's a little, it's a lot for me to sort of like sit back in my chair and tell you that I expect, you know, another, that kind of level of offensive production. Turnovers play into that. Schedule plays into that. It's not much to say. It will be hard to repeat that season. That's not really much to say, but it's kind of how I'm feeling. Here's Carl next. Hi, Carl.
Hey, my issue with that is just with Kincaid is I don't understand why they drafted him. Why draft a guy?
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To play basically wide receiver, but he's not a wide receiver. It makes no sense to me. I could see if he had some upside as a tight end where he could block or do anything, but he gets destroyed in blocking. I just don't feel like he has a place, and he's taking targets away from somebody who could be more dangerous.
Yeah, I get it. I get it, Carl. Like, the idea when they drafted him, it was like Ken Dorsey wanted to do it, and they were not yet – thank you, by the way – they were not yet this team. They were playing a different way, and that's what they planned on doing. And, you know, the first half of last season was very bumpy. They really couldn't consistently get where they wanted to be, so they make the coordinator change. And I think that left Diggs in the dust. And I think that kind of, to a different extent, left Kincaid in the dust. Who was it good for? It was good for Cook. Cook was really the beneficiary of all this as his career really took off when they made that move. So why did they draft him? They drafted him because they had a different vision than they've had more recently. And I don't know what they would have done, but four receivers in a row went right in front of them. I don't know the order. Smith and Jigba was first. Jordan Addison, Quentin Johnston, Zay Flowers were the four. And, you know, varying degrees of success there. Maybe they wanted one of those guys, or maybe it was Kincaid all along. Sam Laporta went in round two and had an incredible rookie season for Detroit. Michael Mayer, who went to the Raiders, was the betting favorite for at least a lot of the preseason, the pre-draft period, to be the first tight end picked, and he wasn't. And he's really stuck with Vegas because of Bowers, who they drafted last year and set records. Thanks again, Carl. Frank is next. Hi, Frank.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Happy Friday, by the way.
Yes.
You know, I just wanted to call and say I'm really excited about this Palmer signing. I think he's going to be a great pick for us. He's going to be a fly-under-the-radar star. May not make the most flashiest moves, but I'm pretty sure he's going to get it done. But I'm kind of feeling down about the whole Bosa signing because I'm worried about another aging vet that might be trying to squeeze the last bit of toothpaste out of the tube. But I hope it works out for us, and I just hope that we can probably change direction in the near future and stop picking up on these aging vets. That's all I had to say. Happy Friday, man.
Thanks, Frank. I don't know. There's a place for it. And when there's a place for it is when you're in the proverbial window, right? Like, it's not... A bad team wouldn't bother with guys like Bosa and Von Miller, unless it was a bit, like the Bills with T.O. or something. But a bad team wouldn't bother. They would just give that spot to someone younger. But, you know, yes, they're trying to squeeze the last of the toothpaste out, which, by the way, no one can beat my wife for that. absolutely insane to watch. There is just nothing in there. And she will just somehow get a toothbrush's amount of toothpaste onto that brush. Really, it's a magic act. I'm excited about Bosa. I don't know what Palmer's ceiling should be expected to be with the Bills, statistically. I think what you want here is the separator who's going to make a few plays for you a game, keep defenses from just completely thinking they can shut you down out wide, so keep you honest. And, I don't know, four catches a week? Four catches a week for Josh Palmer, if he plays a full season, would come close to a career high and far outdo any other season of his career except his second. His second year in the league, with all with Justin Herbert, was 72 catches. Otherwise, in chronological order, rookie to now, 33, 38, and 39. The Chargers used him for like 2 to 3 catches a week. And I don't know. I don't know for sure that the Bills want him to be a lot more than that. I think they want him to be a complimentary piece, not in a, you know, a trivial way, to who else they've got. But I doubt it's me with the fantasy lens. I don't know if I'm ever wanting to start Palmer. We'll see what happens. But that's been one way, one angle, one way of looking at the Bills receivers is like, all right, well, who do you want to put in your lineup? And it was Diggs, of course, like automatically every week. And then last year it was nobody. I mean, Shakir, if you had a team where like he's your third, kind of like what maybe ideally the Bills would be. But if he's like your third receiver, which he was before Diggs and Davis left, if he's your third receiver in fantasy and he gives you 10 or 12 points a week, like that has some value. But really, in most leagues, you're not going to want to start a player like this. I don't think Palmer's going to be any different. Kincaid is the real disappointment, back to him in that context, because Kincaid comes out of the draft as a first-round pick on an Allen team, and they've got like serious plans for him, field stretcher and all that stuff. That's a guy you wanted to draft. It just hasn't hit. Maybe it'll turn. I mean, who knows? The season is so far away, and there's talent in these guys. We'll see philosophically, do they want to be different or whatever it is, but long way from finding out. The draft has to happen first, and then we'll see if they add any pieces to this that could make the analysis different. Talked to Scott Barrett earlier from Fantasy Points about running backs. If you missed that, it's on the Odyssey app. And he is super excited for the running back class. A lot of people are. You know, this is a guy that really knows it. And he said, the Bills, it doesn't even almost matter necessarily who the running backs on your team are. That might be weird to say. I say, not speaking for him on that. He might say there are exceptions to that. But go get one on Saturday. Go get one of these running backs. They're not all going to be drafted in the first three rounds, of course. There's a bias, not a wrong one, against, in my opinion, against running backs early in the draft. You get to Saturday, and there could just be a lot of really talented players, like, I don't know, 10 to 20 of those guys. So he did tell us that the Bills should get one of those guys. And I told him, I'm waiting for the league. The league has made, again, this is through my opinion, league has made progress in understanding running back value. And thus, when you're drafting on Saturday, being open to at least the possibility that that pick, a running back picked on day three, might really matter to you. This was Ray Davis. And there are better examples. But Davis, you know, was picked in the fourth round, right? And he had a role. There are teams, I mean, he also played on a team where a different running back scored 16 rushing touchdowns. He wasn't exactly needed to play a bigger role. Whereas in other teams, that was the case. The Giants. The Giants drafted a running back last year, maybe in the fifth or even sixth round, Tyrone Tracy, who moved in ahead of Singletary and was their number one last year. He did okay. I'm saying, I'm waiting for the league to get to that point where Saturday draft picks at running back. They have plans for them. And, you know, if this is what you're doing, and this is even the Bills, it's not what you're doing if you're going to pay James Cook more than $10 million a year. Like, there's no real urgency to draft somebody and figure out a way to get them on the field. No, if you're doing that, James Cook is going to be on the field. How did we get back to James Cook again? We always do. So I'm excited about, fantasy-wise, like those running backs. And I'm hoping, you know, in some cases they get picked and then really it's realistic to think that they could play. I mean, a lot of teams after last year have their number one guy under contract. There were lots of big running back contracts passed out, and many of those guys hit, even like not just Barkley, but Derrick Henry, Jacobs in Green Bay, Mixon in Houston. You had guys who were not on new teams, but Alvin Kamara kept going. James Conner kept going for Arizona. Still, 1 year older, all of them, all of us, like that group of running backs, and will be very interesting to see like where they land and if they get much of an opportunity. I'm totally here for the Bills drafting one of them, you know, round four or five. Paul Hamilton coming up. We'll sit with the Sabres loss for a few minutes, talk about the weekend, Minnesota and Winnipeg, the next 2 days, both afternoon games. Bulldog is off through not only past next week, he's off all the next week and then into the following week, so he'll be gone a while. This is Mike Shope. Glad to have you here today. This is WGR.